Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm Sharon.
I had a 40-year porn addiction.
Porn was an unwelcome guest for 32 years of our marriage.
I found hope and freedom when I attended a Gateway to Freedom weekend.
And I found hope and the courage to begin my healing journey while attending Wives Care.
Don't be like us and allow porn to wreak havoc in your lives.
Reach out to Be Broken today.
To learn more about Gateway to Freedom, 3-day intensive for men, and Wives Care online groups, visit BeBroken.org or call 210-822-8201. That's BeBroken.org or 210-822-8201.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Darty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, Dr. Steven Cervantes joins me in our brand new studio to discuss how couples get stuck in emotional cycles of conflict, drawing on Sue Johnson's emotionally focused therapy model. We explore how triggers, core fears, and attachment styles, like the classic pursuer and withdrawer dynamic, shape our reactions and create distance in marriage. Together, we talk about the importance of self-awareness, grace, and integrating emotional and spiritual growth to break these patterns and build deeper connections. We also highlight the 5 stages that happen in conflict, which are 1, trigger, 2, body symptom, 3, emotional response, 4, belief response, and then 5, action. This is an insightful and practical conversation for anyone wanting healthier, more loving relationships. For daily thoughts from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And I'm going to invite you, as always, friends, to rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's dive into today's conversation on responding to conflict in healthier, more redemptive ways. And please forgive us for some minor audio troubles in this episode. We're still working out some tech issues in the studio. Thank you. Well, all right. We've got Dr. Cervantes with us. So how are you doing?
Hey, I am blessed and glad to be here. Excited to be in the new location.
Yeah, so it's been fun. We just got in here, I guess it was early July, maybe late June, that we got into our new space. And it's fun, folks, if you're listening and watching, we were able to, on the property where I live, my father-in-law and I were able to build a new office for our local staff and just created this little podcast studio here. So now we've got a comfortable permanent location for the Dr. Cervantes, Dr. Marriage.
Oh, good. So drmarriage.org, if you want to read our thoughts, that's where they come from. And Dr. Marriage is designed for men to help men have dialogue to engage their wife. And this session is about conflict. And one of the conflicts that we often hear is he doesn't talk to me. He doesn't share himself with me. He doesn't open up to me. So Dr. Marriage is designed with a thought a day for a husband to go to his wife and have a dialogue with her. We create the material. Men create the material for men to read to wives and have a dialogue.
And guys, just so that you're not intimidated, that's what one thought looks like. I mean, it literally fits on one page. So it's going to take you like 90 seconds to read it. And then the issue is whether or not you're then going to take it and say, okay, there's something that I got here that I want to share with my wife. Sometimes what you may want to do is read it and then just actually take it and read it to your wife and then
It's designed.
Start a conversation.
And men will say, I read them all the time. I go, do you read them to your wife? You could get like twice the mileage out of it. You could get educated and you could bring material to your wife.
And here's what I would say too. One of the best ways to use it is tell your wife about drmarriage.org, because here's what happens in my marriage sometimes is my wife will actually shoot me a text and say, what did you think about this? And she's the one that has read that day's. And so she may instigate the conversation.
I love that.
You know, so.
That's that. She can work it that way, because some are really, they'll touch you and others will be interesting and some will be educational and they're all emotional, right? I was thinking about this. Who am I? I'm like the emotional guy who stands on the foundation of Christ and his love. Mm. But I don't always say, okay, the Bible, go read Romans or in James. Or, yeah, there's a happy verse. And, you know what I mean? I'm not the guy that I was reading this morning about where Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Mm. Now, this is Peter. He loves Jesus.
Yeah.
And why does, so I'm looking at the subheading that I'm trying to figure out. And Peter said, Christ is saying, I got to go to the cross and die. And Peter says, no, don't do it. Save yourself. Mm. The Passion Bible says, save yourself. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And the information at the bottom, the commentary says, he was saying, that is a satanic thought.
Yeah.
Go save yourself. Mm-hmm. That he, and then further, it's like, I'm not going to think like men think. Jesus was telling Peter, I'm not going to think like men think, save yourself, or like Satan thinks, save yourself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that just hit me because, like, is he calling him Satan? No, in the bottom of the translation, it's not that he was calling him Satan. It's that he was saying, that is a satanic thought. Go save yourself. Come on. Just like all the desert, right? Yeah. Where Satan went to him and said, hey, take care of yourself. Save yourself. Do whatever you want. Jesus going, I got a mission here.
Well,
I got to go do this thing.
And I think that's actually a great segue into our conversation today about relationship conflict. Mm. Is how many times are we in our relationships going, how do I save myself here? Like, how do I get what I want? How do
right.
I, instead of going, oh, maybe there's a different way to lay down my life and a different way to serve. And so yeah. I think even this,
oh, that's good.
This actually segues pretty well into maybe where we're going today.
So, and the point is there's a lot of emotional stuff. And sometimes people say, why don't you just preach the gospel more? Well, I love Jesus, and he will save your soul if you love him too, have a relationship with him, and turn your life over. You're going to learn a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous. And this guy's big on grace. That's his topic. And my topic is, how does the emotional system work so we can align it with the spiritual system?
Yeah, they're not disconnected. Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. I think sometimes when people say, why don't you just preach the gospel? That's sometimes the way that can come across is like, oh, you want to just keep it in this very heady theological space. But what does the gospel look like worked out in your life?
That's right.
Doesn't it look like grace starting to actually manifest? Doesn't it look like your emotional system is maturing and growing and changing? Doesn't it look like your relationships are forming in different ways? The gospel is worked out in our lives. It's not just like a theological text.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, as long as I got all that information right, now I know the gospel. It's like, I don't really know the gospel until you start to walk it out in your life.
And that's the transformation. That's how God changed me. That's how God set me free. That's your testimony. What he cleaned up in you is your testimony. You can talk about him all day long. But when he comes inside and changes you, then you can stand against people that don't believe all day long and go, I don't care what you say. I know what happened to me when I invited him in.
Right, right. Yeah.
So we're talking about a new theory that I've been studying. I've heard about it a long time. It's been around since the 90s. And it's called emotionally focused therapy. Okay, that's it. Sue Johnson put together a system of thinking. And if you take a figure eight and turn it on its side, you're going to see one loop and another loop and one loop and another loop. And what she put together so elegantly is that I get triggered. I get flooded with emotions. I have thoughts that are not healthy thoughts. Then I do dumb things. Then when I do dumb things, you get triggered. You get flooded with feelings of rejection. You think terrible things. Then you do dumb things. Then I see you do dumb things, and I get triggered, and
of course that sideways figure eight is an infinity loop, is what we call that, right? You know, so
that's it. And so she did. She put two things together. She said, "Look at what's happening because it repeats over and over again. Why? Because our fears get triggered." Mm-hmm. And so let's say our fears. I think my fear is that I'm not good enough. And so when my wife says, well, did you take out the trash? Did you go to the store? Did you? I was like, oh no, I failed. Oh no. And why are you using that tone on me? I hate that tone. It makes me feel bad. I'm going to go to the other room. I don't want to be here and listen to you anymore. So I walk away. That's my half. Mm-hmm. What would you say?
Mine's a similar one. And you know, it's the idea of I don't measure up. There's a perfectionistic tendency in my mind. Like, unless I'm able to like hit the absolute top mark, somehow I'm not worth anything.
There's the belief. You hear it. I'm not good enough. I feel short. Mm-hmm. Right. There's the belief. And then what do? When you get weird and you want to.
Oh, I totally run away. I shut down. So I don't charge in order to try. It's like, if I don't think I can hit that mark, I'm like, I'm out of here.
So retreat.
Escape,
right,
you know, right. Yeah.
And so what do you think when he retreats, or me, it doesn't matter, we're the same. When he retreats, what do you think his wife thinks?
Oh my God, yeah.
You're leaving me?
Well, it triggers her for sure, yeah.
We're having a conversation here? What, you don't want me? Boom, there we go, into her fear. Then I guess I'm not good enough and he doesn't want me. There's the beliefs, right? Then what is your wife? Maybe we shouldn't talk about voice. But everybody does goofy things. That's the point, right? We get loud. Some guys get angry, mm-hmm. right? Some people run away. Some people go to logic. Well, this and this. And you think you're perfect. This and this. I'll tell you what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And,
well, without going into details, I can tell you that figure eight absolutely does happen in our marriage. Because when I go through my cycle and then it triggers her, she does go through that, which then, guess what, reinforces my feelings of like, well, man, I missed the mark big time on that. So I guess I'm going to retreat a little bit more. Wait. So then it just goes back and forth, and we're kind of, you start to kind of feel like you're chasing your tail.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
In a way.
And this is the elegance of this model is that she put them all together, mm-hmm. that we have a first response and that we have a deep fear underneath it. And so anger is our first response, or running away. But then the deep fear is what you said, not measuring up or not good enough, right? So she put those together. And if you can learn your cycle and you can see it and you could literally map it out, then you can rest better because like, oh, it's the cycle. We're triggering one another. So married couples get stuck in this loop of arguing and conflict, mm-hmm. right? Something happens, then we get triggered, then we start arguing and we start believing and feeling bad, and there's this back and forth. And then the more you argue and fight for your position, the more the disconnect occurs. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Well, and in some ways, just the compounding nature of this, I'm sure everybody, you know, those that are listening or watching that are married have to be nodding their heads and going, oh, yeah, when I start thinking about my relationship and I think about our kind of pattern of conflict, this is starting to make sense. You know, now it takes a little while to do what you're talking about and saying, can you specifically map out kind of your path that you take. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I think it just makes sense immediately, because as soon as you started asking me about my core fear and then what I do and then thinking about how my mm-hmm. wife responds, I was very quickly able to say, oh, and I kind of see what her path is then and how that then leads back to my path. And then, and you realize, and of course, my first thought, and we'll get there eventually. My first thought is like, how do you get off the crazy train? Like, if it's an infinite loop, like, how do you break out of that? Where's the off ramp, right?
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
And I don't want to get there too soon.
No, but I mean, this may be the whole thing. Because remember, let me break it down, because I think it's worth doing. There's five areas in your loop. And so one, there's a triggering event that happens. And I said, I walk in and she said, did you? That's the triggering event. Did you stop by and pick up the mail? Did you get the groceries? And you know we're out of milk. And did you? And it's like, whoa, I'm being accused. So there's a triggering event. Mm-hmm. Then there's a body symptom that happens. Stress. My gut. I failed, right? So there's a trigger, there's a body symptom, then there's my first response, anger, irritation, you know, do whatever. Because then I start to go down my beliefs. I'm not good enough. I failed. Something's wrong with me. I wish I was more. I should do better. Why can't I get it right? And then my final action is
horrible. Oh, so wait, there's the, what was okay. Number four? You said beliefs?
First the trigger, then the body, then the first emotional response, then the beliefs you have.
Okay.
And then your final action.
Okay.
So there's five things.
Okay.
So there's a trigger event. Trigger.
So this would help you start to kind of specifically map out
absolutely
what your particular kind of cycle is in this conflict.
Yes, absolutely. And I hope there are light bulbs going off all over the place right now. Because even if you don't figure out your spouse's, if you figure out your own,
mm-hmm.
you can stop your, when you get triggered, right? That's inevitable. We're all going to be triggered. But right. Our body stress is going to say, whoa, we're under attack.
And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we talk about this in our intensive with the men, but so many times it's in a narrower lane around their acting out, right?
Yes.
Their journey towards acting out in their behavior.
Yes.
But I see how this parallels and kind of weaves with that in a really strong way, because it's a similar kind of thing. But we're always talking about, hey, where do you feel stress, anger? Where do you feel fear in your body?
That's right.
And starting to learn how to because I almost feel like the one and two, trigger and body response, you could say those are just melded together.
They happen so fast.
In other words, you don't have, in many ways, I'd say you have the body response that tells you you're being triggered. In other words, it's almost like
that's true.
Because we often feel it in our bodies before we're consciously aware of, like, I'm being triggered.
Exactly. So something happened, right? And then our body tenses up. We're under attack,
mm-hmm.
right? Then we do our first response, which is not our deep response. Our first response, which is, why are you attacking me?
Mm-hmm.
Or what did I do wrong? Or I get quiet. Or whatever your first response is. Then your beliefs come up again. They're old beliefs. They're in your body. You've had them. They, you know, you can map them out.
Could that almost be considered where we put a lot of what we call shame lies? Because that'd be kind of beliefs
absolutely.
There, right?
Absolutely. They're all, I'm not good enough. Something's wrong with me. I never succeed. Why can't I? I mean,
sadly. And then out of that, we'll take our action.
Then we take our action, oh, man, here we go again. I mean, think about it. This is individual work and couples work.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I see this weave together very smoothly in terms of what we're doing individually with somebody who's trying to break free from an addictive behavior.
Right.
And then what you're talking about here in terms of, like, hey, relational conflict. Do you see that there's a lot of overlap?
Well, and I think the behavior would be go act out.
A lot of times, yeah.
Right? Go act out sexually. And you could see this whole thing. Right. And so they have EFT, emotionally focused therapy. If you ever go to counseling and you want to do this work, make sure they're trained in EFT, emotionally mm-hmm. focused therapy. But they have individual work and they have couples work. So all they're doing in the individual is teaching you your half.
Yeah.
Because just think about this. Does this change? No. Does your body stress and, like, first it was my ear, then it was my eyeball, then it was my toe. No, it's always here. And then what do you do first? You get mad or you shut up or you sulk? What do? You always do the same. It's like we're talking about old habits and breaking habits. Man, that's what happened. We just trained ourselves to argue back with logic. Well, you were stupid yesterday. Why are you calling me stupid today?
And I think this is where we need to maybe encourage everyone that this is actually a positive in us understanding and maybe eventually breaking through, is that you were simple in terms of how we're built, meaning like you said, the body responses for our triggers are going to be pretty consistent.
Right.
Even the beliefs are you're not going to have 15 different beliefs for every trigger.
Right.
You're probably going to have one or two that you go, man, that really flared up. And then with that also means probably you don't have 47 different behavior, like the way that you act. And so because we're very patterned in that way, it means, oh, you know what? I don't have to learn an encyclopedia of things going
and
on.
And it's
in
not
my
a
system.
Mystery that we cannot understand. It's such a big mystery. Why do you act that way? Well, yeah. I act that way. Mm-hmm. It's my pattern.
So I guess the issue here then, especially with relationship conflict, is first, are we willing to go on this learning journey of ourselves? Are we willing to be curious enough to say, or willing? Are we willing to be courageous enough to say, yeah, this is my pattern? Because let's just be, I want to be encouraging right now, because I want to be the first to admit, whenever I've done this kind of work in my own life, man, it's not comfortable. It doesn't, right. You know, we even talked in the previous podcast that we recorded, about the idea of whether you're going towards loneliness and isolation or you're going towards deeper relationship.
Yeah.
Pain is part of the journey. So it's kind of like we have to embrace that and go, listen, when we got to tell on ourselves and talk about things like our shame lies and what triggers us and the way we go and behave about it, you know what? It's going to be a little ugly. And that's okay, because where we're trying to go, right? We're trying to reduce or respond to conflict in a different way in our relationships. And that's a positive thing, even if it's really hard to admit some of these things.
And let me say, Sue Johnson wrote a book called Hold Me Tight. So if you just want to go read on this material, Hold Me Tight. And it's a relational book. So we repeat these arguments over and over, these patterns in the relationship. We trigger one. I get triggered. You get triggered. I get triggered. And over time, we lose hope. We get desperate. We think this is never going to change. And so we drift apart. We live separate lives together because we didn't understand there's a pattern to this thing. And if we learn the pattern, and remember, this is only half the model. The deeper model is the fears below are driving all this. What if we talk at a deeper level about the fears below? That's the second part. This, you're only going to get half the model, okay? Mm-hmm. But I think this half can move you along tremendously.
Yeah. Yeah, because even just listing those five parts of this process in your own half of the conflict is huge for understanding. Because what would happen, Stephen, what do you think would happen if just, 20% of our audience really took to, I want to learn those five things about me.
About myself.
Man, that would be huge.
Right.
We'd see a wave of relational revival, right?
Wow.
This is the thing that I love about what you're sharing here and why we want to really kind of double down on it. This is not about pointing out these things in your spouse.
Oh, that's too good. Yes.
This is about saying, listen, I am going to do work on myself.
And I'm
going to
regulate my system, right? Because part of what Sue Johnson said, well, it's all built on attachment theory, which says in my childhood, when I got scared, if I could go to you for comfort, I could learn to attach. But if I got scared and you screamed at me and said, just stop it, it's nothing, and we did not attach, then we don't know attachment. So we're either trained to attach or we're trained to live detached. And it happens in childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because they did this study. They took a bunch of kids playing in a room and they had the parents all leave. Then the parents came in one at a time. And the kids that knew attachment ran over to, the parents had a little bag, right? And the kids ran over, gave mom a hug, and looked at the bag, and they got into mom's space and got curious about mom, knew mom was going to hug them back, glad to see him, blah, blah. The kids that didn't attach, that weren't attached, looked up, playing, saw the parent over there, went back to playing. In that moment, you can tell who has an attachment with their parent.
Mm.
So they study this over and over again, attachment, attachment, attachment. So it's attachment theory. She says, we all want secure and safe attachment. I want to feel safe with you and secure and known and attached. And how can we get there? And on the path to getting there, she discovered the cycle.
Mm.
Well, what are the things that keep you apart? Well, we get triggered. Then we surge. Right? Then we do our first response. Then we go, and then we have this, and then we do our second, we walk away.
And so, and these five things are going to happen in a person, whether they are someone who doesn't know attachment or they do, right? I mean, they're still going to go through
those.
No,
that's exactly right. You're exactly right. But the difference is there's
one may move away and the other move toward.
That's perfect. And thank you. I was going to make this point. I forgot. In any relationship, in almost every relationship, there is a pursuer and a withdrawer. Mm-hmm. So the person that learned to attach is the pursuer. Hey, let's go sit on the couch and talk. The withdrawer is going to say, let's go stare at the stars. Oh, a guy said, this is amazing. One of the guys at our retreat said, I'm sitting with my wife. And she's talking, and my mind is going, I wonder why grass is green. Is that not fabulous?
Oh, man.
I wonder why. He's over here wondering, why does grass turn green when that bark on the tree is brown? Why is this? She's over here talking. Now, do you see there? She went to sit outside under the moon and talk, and the pursuer wanted to pursue, and the withdrawer needed to withdraw.
Yeah.
So that's one of the dynamics you have to watch for in a relationship.
So let's keep going with that then. Let's keep talking about then what you're saying here, which is really kind of underneath all the conflict.
Oh, what's underneath? One spouse is looking for a strong attachment bond, and the other's just in survival mode. Mm-hmm. Right? So that... I've never attached well. I don't know emotional language. I don't know what to do with your pain.
So in some ways, the work we're talking about here, and I would imagine there's a lot of maybe men especially that are listening or watching here, that they're going, yeah, that's me. I'm the withdrawer. I'm the one that just kind of starts to hyperventilate when people start saying, I've got to learn emotional talk.
Yeah, my wife says, why don't you go deep inside me? It's like, what the freak? What are you talking? Yeah.
I'll tell you this. One of the questions that used to just, you know, haunt me from my wife is she would say, how's your heart?
That's it, exactly.
And I would just have a blank stare on my face, like
why don't you ask
it's
me
beating,
how my,
you know, it's still
ask me how my head is. Right. I have a lot of thoughts I can give you, but
exactly,
my,
yeah.
Right, it's just chaos, right?
Mm-hmm. So or it really speaks into, for me in particular, and I think this may resonate with, again, especially a lot of the guys that are listening, what that did to me is it almost like just ramped up those core fears.
Yeah.
Like that idea of,
But wouldn't that be a trigger? This is perfect.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is,
how's your heart? Oh no.
And I would feel I'd feel in my body like just my heart start to race.
There it is.
And then I'd be like, if I don't answer this perfectly or don't give some kind of like I'm a stellar, wonderful, amazing human being that has perfect emotional regulation, and then I'd just be like, let's go somewhere else. I just want to, you know, get away from this conversation. Or a way to get away from the conversation was then just, it's all going to come from my head.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'll tell you the latest philosophy that I've been studying. I will tell you, you know.
Last Bible verse.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. And it's good to know that, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing that I want to say here. If you'll, especially if you're someone that's listening and you're going, yeah, this is kind of scary to me. It's very unfamiliar. If you'll just go through those five things and just start to get even just within the ballpark of like an understanding of what's going on in your system, it's amazing how just knowing that will start to help you in real time.
You know what's beautiful is you just figured it out, and you and I did not talk about this before this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I brought in a piece of paper that had some general outline, but you just nailed your five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Like that. Because we know ourselves, and it's our experience.
I will say I have been doing this work for 25 years, so I'm more familiar with the lane that we're in.
Yes.
So I'm trying to draw in those that are saying, I don't know, man. You're speaking a different language.
The reality is people will know immediately three of the five or four of the five.
Yeah.
They won't go, what are you talking about? My body gets tense. But we just put it together in a way, oh, I get triggered, then my body was. Something happens. You don't just, your body doesn't go randomly.
Yeah.
Something happens, then the body goes, right? Then we move right down that list.
And what I would encourage, actually, what I would encourage our listeners to do is, if this is an area that you're going, man, I have never done any work in this. I don't know what to do next. I would encourage you. I mean, we're going to put it in the show notes, those five things. And I'm just going to encourage you to go read that or write them down yourself.
Yep.
Just so that you can, just for the next week or two, just look at them and say, I want to learn myself better in these ways.
Oh, that's great.
Because just, again, just having that knowledge, what it's done for me over, you know, even though I didn't know these five specifically in that way, I've done this kind of work for a long, in my own recovery, is just having that knowledge of kind of my own patterns. I can start to be more aware when the trigger happens or when there's conflict in our relationship, and I can go, okay, what's going on now? Whereas before it would have just been almost like on a subconscious level. And next thing you know, I'm like kind of sucking my thumb in the corner, being isolated and like, I don't know what to do. Instead, it's like, okay, I'm experiencing
what's
going on. But
this is beautiful because I've been triggered. If you just say that one thing, oh my goodness, I've been triggered. Slow your breath down, ask for wisdom. Right. And then move slower, more carefully and pay attention. Right. Well, you can, when you slow this down, you can learn lots of things. So one spouse may have not been raised with connections. They know aloneness. And so they want to go to that. They don't know how to create an attachment bond. They go back to aloneness. They move away. They disengage. And arguing and upset in one spouse can forge that will continue to forge, right? I came from an arguing household, and now you're arguing, now I move away. I mean, it's the old patterns. They repeat themselves. And so, and the whole idea of, if I just say I'm triggered, then I'm in a fork in the road. Do the old or try something new.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, you know, about the figure eight that we were talking about, is this is, I think, the off-ramp. In other words, rather than just saying, well, we're just going to kind of keep going on this, let's trigger each other and keep going down this path, is just knowing what your pattern is allows you to be able to reroute at any one of the junctures. So in other words, you know what?
Out and say,
as soon as I feel this body sensation and realize I'm being triggered, I have there's an off-ramp there.
Yeah.
I can, like you said, I can start to, let me breathe. Let me try to calm down. Let me pray. Yeah. Let me actually ask questions about what my spouse was actually trying to understand. So there's, the good news is you can learn by learning these patterns. You can actually, by learning them, start to develop your off-ramp.
And a new pattern, right? Where you don't run.
Yeah.
Right? Because in the end, the pursuer is always pursuing. Why don't you talk to me? What are you doing? Why are you glazed over? Why don't you listen to me? And the withdrawal is always withdrawing, right? And that's how they end.
And you know what?
Like,
just
wait. We gotta.
You know what just popped into my head was, you know, we're called, whether we're married or not, we are called as believers in Christ to build one another up in love.
Amen.
So what if that becomes a new pattern? In other words, we're talking about conflict here, right? And a trigger that sets me off, and my old beliefs and my shame lies come up, and then I want to go do something that's probably either disconnecting or domineering or whatever. And it's like, well, what if the off-ramp was leading us to that place of building one another up in love? What if we created an infinity loop like that in our relationships? You know, where we're quote-unquote triggering one another towards love and good deeds rather than like,
well, that
how can I go into my shame and go into my... So that's your next model to work on.
I was
going to
say, you may be creating a model, Jonathan, right there. Yeah. You know?
I do want to close with this prayer that you had put in here that I think is a good way to kind of sum up and just go to the Father about this, trying to resolve conflicts in a better way. The prayer is simply this: Father, help me with oneness. You specialize in two becoming one. We need your help as we grow. Please bless us with a wonderful Jesus-centered attachment bond. The kind Jesus and with his Father. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The team that they are, right?
Yeah. And they are obviously the ones who teach us of what perfect attachment is.
Oh, man.
Our God is one.
Yes.
And yet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's perfect oneness in their unity.
Amen.
Well, we want to help you take your next best step, so please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless, and thank you.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.